David Yepsen, director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute, is joining us this morning. David, it's always a privilege.
Good to be with you, Tom.
First off, we need to start. You have a couple of surveys that we're going to be talking about, questionnaires about how things are going. But before we get into that portion of the show, tell me about the methodology for collecting this information.
It's a poll of 400 some registered voters in southern Illinois, basically the 18 counties south of I-64. We get a plus or minus of 4.9 percentage points, so 5% margin of error.
Yeah, and we're talking Alexander, Franklin, Gallatin, Hamilton, Hardin. These are the southern Illinois counties, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Johnson, Jefferson, Jackson. Yep.
And we were talking to them between September 22nd and October 3rd.
So this is fresh off
the... So this is pretty current.
Yeah.
Right.
What now? There's a new bit that's being released this morning, but I want to go back to the portion that was released earlier this week. What is the element that stood out glaring to you from these numbers?
Well, two things. One, 80% of the registered voters here think that both the state and the country are headed in the wrong direction. That's huge. And the other was Senator Mark Kirk's job approval rating. You know, he's only got 30% approval, 22% disapprove, but there were almost 47% of the registered voters in southern Illinois weren't sure about their opinion of him. And to me, that was surprising, given that
he's interested me, too. It did the incumbent, you know, the period of time he was off the job. We'll call it from the stroke.
That's right.
And the fact that, I mean, he literally made a monthly appearance here up until that time and then stopped and has not responded to our request for an interview to date. And I think when you're not telling your story, you disappear.
Right. And people may be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it was interesting. I think people are saying, well, I don't know how I feel about him right now. And that's not good. That's not a good sign.
No.
For him going into a tough election year. This is the most vulnerable Republican in the U.S. Senate. And he got elected in 2010, which is a huge year for Republicans. 2016 is going to be in Illinois. It'll be a much larger turnout. It's a presidential year turnout. And that tends to favor Democrats. So he's got his work cut out for him.
Tammy Duckworth, according to the Associated Press last night, when it comes to getting campaign funds, has raised $410,000 more than Senator Kirk.
Yeah, Democrats are going to pour it on in this state.
You know, let's go back to a couple of seconds ago, because I don't think 80%... Does the significance of 80% of 8 in 10 Americans going, this is wrong, that has to catch somebody's attention? And the reason why I say this, Dave, is because in your frequency tables, you look at the two issues, the questions that you ask. One is, do you think about the direction of the United States? How's it going? That's one question. And then the direction of the state of Illinois is another question. Wrong direction for the United States is 78.8%. Wrong direction for the state is 79.8%. Literally 1% difference. Now, do people differentiate between federal and state? I know you and I do, but just to everybody.
Well, people are in a foul mood, but it is true that Congress has its troubles, the disarray in the House of Representatives, and Springfield has its problems. So I think it's evidence that ordinarily in a poll like this, people will think that their state is doing better than the country. This is an exception here in Illinois. We think both are in pretty bad shape.
And once again, the time in which you issued that question is important. There was no budget. It's not like this survey was taken last year and there was a budget. After the budget, and everybody pretty aware, as I said, fresh. And here's the other aspect that I find interesting about this. All right, right direction for the United States, 13%. Right direction for the state, 11%. But when you go to the third question that you ask about how things are in general or your city or state, the relevancy of what you just said about how you people usually think their state is doing well, when you ask people about their hometown, they think that, more substantial numbers, 50.9% believe that their local community is going in the right direction.
Yeah, 51%. That's not great. But it's certainly a big contrast between the feelings people have toward the state. And
especially
the
if that community's in the state of Illinois.
Well, right.
You know,
and,
we're
doing okay. Our town's doing okay. Our county's doing okay. But, boy, we sure think the state and federal government are off track.
I wonder if it's because, and I've always had this feeling and still do, that local politicians are more accountable because they're within arm's reach of the voter in which they serve.
Yeah, sure. You see them every day in the grocery store. People tend to know them personally. They might feel a little better about things because of that. But 51%, that's good compared to the state and federal government. But even that is still not great in a lot of communities.
When you've only had the job 10 months and 34% of the people in the state don't, the people in this questionnaire don't believe or disapprove, strongly disapprove the exact term of the job the governor's doing, and he's only been there 10 months.
Not good. Especially in, remember, Tom, we're talking about Southern Illinois here. This is a pretty evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats, but it does trend more conservative.
And even the Democrats are more conservative.
That's right. Governor Rauner, I think there are a lot of people who still got the verdict might be out a little bit, but that's a pretty to have half disapprove, over half, 50.7%. That's not good for the governor.
Right. And it's not good because of the other guy knows you're not doing very well. He's got you back on your heels, and maybe he can get what you want because your approval numbers aren't good. But still, look at that. Still, all these people are still higher than Congress in the United States of America.
Well, that's not – somebody once said Hugo Chavez has better poll ratings, had better poll ratings in Venezuela than Congress has here.
Right.
So.
I mean, when you think about it, I mean, and this has come up in the presidential debate too. Well, you know, yeah, sure, I got still got higher approval ratings than you guys. Rats and cockroaches have higher approval ratings because they do their jobs. And I'm not being facetious. When I was looking at the survey information, people were asked, well, what do you think about cockroaches? Oh, yeah, I approve. They do their jobs, and, you know, they are what they are. Congress, below cockroaches. Right.
The thing to watch, one of the things to watch, Tom, is does this foul mood, do these low numbers mean people just don't vote next year? We've got a year to go. And there'll be a lot of people, I think, who are just so fed up, they say, a plague on all your houses, I'm not even going to go bother. And when that kind of thing happens, weird outcomes happen.
Absolutely, and close at one point, and somebody's flipping a coin at the courthouse. Right. Kenny Gray, when I was very young, people, because I'm thinking about this disapproval, Kenny Gray says people will crawl across the street on broken grass, a glass on their knees to vote against you, but won't cross the street to vote for you.
That's a good well, there's a reason why Kenny was in office for
there
so
is
long.
And you wonder when because you talk about this not I mean will there is there an inverse curve where you come to the point where I'm not interested to a plague on your house and let me show you how everybody's going to vote today. I wonder if there's not an inverse bell curve to that won't vote to you damn right I'm voting that attitude.
Well, the one thing incumbents have going for them is that individually, they may be more popular than the institution. In other words, voters in Southern Illinois may think better of Mike Bost and John Shimkus than they do of Congress. All right, and that's true with their legislators as well. We don't like what's going on in Springfield, but we like Gary Forby and John Bradley and all the legislators down here.
I hate lawyers, but I love mine.
But, right.
Right?
Right.
It's one of the old ones. Now, this is new this morning, just released from the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute, and this is survey information that was taken about the effect the lack of a budget has on the people of Southern Illinois. And what did this new research tell you, David?
37% of the voters in Southern Illinois will say the budget. This budget mess in Springfield has now somehow started to affect them. That's a lot of people. Now, it's also true, the flip side of that is about, 57% say we don't see any effect. So we had a good argument.
It's interesting, isn't it?
We had a good argument in the office about what was the more important figure. You know, one out of three say it's a big effect, but a lot of people don't.
You know what's interesting is because this comes once again to whether you want to or not, whether you have an effect on you. Who is this? Is this a state worker? Is it a union employee? And are they more predisposed towards going to the polling, to the booth, to pull the handle? I mean, it depends on who this disenfranchised person is, doesn't it?
Right, and some of it says depends on what it is, I think. You have 1 out of 10 who say that they or someone in their family have experienced a job loss because of the state budget impasse. I think one of the reasons why some people haven't been touched by it is the state is still spending money with court orders. The legislature and the governor did agree on funding for local schools. I mean, had they not done that and people couldn't take their kids to school, we probably would have had people with pitchforks in the street.
Whole different
thing. So yeah. There are people who are paid by government revenues who still have jobs.
And I think that is crucial to remember. Of course, there's somebody in social services right now that's throwing something at the radio. because they, I've had people call me going, hey, Tom, I know you a lot of people, but I'm out of a job now, man.
Right. And that's social services and higher education are two big areas that are not on autopilot, that haven't been taken care of. And those are two chunks of the budget that have a lot of impact on Southern Illinois.
Matter of fact, I think they have a hearing set today in Springfield on social service cuts scheduled for today. There was one other item that in particular wanted to point out. How has your family been impacted by the state of a state budget? And not affected by the state budget in this one question, if yes, how has your family been impacted? Missing, not affected by budget, 62%. And then the next biggest number in the pile is 10%. And the other note that I think we ought to look at in particular is this next question, because I believe this to be crucial, and that's right to work.
Yes.
And when I look at the big number that they would vote for right to work, 53% vote against, 36.2%. Those two big numbers are the ones that jump out at me.
Well, and that surprised me because you think of Southern Illinois as a strong labor region. But 53% say they would support Rauner's proposal that to have a right to work law. You can get a job without joining a union.
I get the idea the governor's downloading your report in his office this morning while they're listening.
Well, that's one piece of good news for the governor. At least he's got some support for that in Southern Illinois.
Okay. You and I, months ago, and I know you've heard me talking about, because when I get a bee in my bonnet, it tends not to go away. And I've been using the term morale, that this is the thing that I'm concerned about. And we see it in the form of people losing. Illinois Policy Institute, I know you heard about last week, and I mean, they're leaving.
Right.
All right, and people have called us liars and misrepresenting the facts for a long time. They're leaving. There's really not much argument there. Morale in this state, David. I mean, your thoughts?
Well, I think it's bad. I think that the data here indicate that. It also affects us in other ways. You know, those of us who have jobs and we're doing okay still don't feel well because you see so much of this negativity around you. And I think it results in people leaving the state. The flip side that is even more difficult to measure is how many people don't come here because of that. If you're trying to recruit an employee or a business, you can't measure those who don't come to Illinois because of it. And for a long time, I think Illinois has thought, hey, we're great. We're in the center of the country. We're big. We're powerful. Well, there are other states in the region that are centrally located, that have good school systems, that don't have this uncertainty. And I can't stress it enough. We all know that taxes are going to have to go up and revenues are going to have to come down and spending is going to have to come down. I'm sorry. But business hates taxes, but they really hate uncertainty. How do you make a business plan for what your
fear of the unknown is a dreadful,
exactly,
and
right.
It doesn't matter whether you're digging a ditch or you're building the Empire State Building. Fear of the future, it locks us up.
Right. And a lot of us had a lot of hope coming out of the election. And Rauner's still new in his term, that maybe things would be different in Springfield. And so far, they're not. Deadlock, gridlock, fighting. It's just not put people in a very good mood.
And they don't see a light at the end of the tunnel either.
No. In fact, the latest talk is we may not get a budget in this state until March. When after the legislature has come back and we've had the primary and so everybody's safely reelected in their safe districts and then maybe they'll get about the business of cutting spending and raising tax revenues.
What do you think about the presidential debates? We just got a couple seconds.
I gave it to Hillary Clinton. I thought she was strong. I think she
enough to stop Joe from entering the race.
I think so. I wondered about that as I watched that. He was sitting in the Naval Observatory watching that, and that may have been put to rest some of the doubts people have. He says he's going to make a decision within the next week, but he's carried this on a long time, and I'm wondering if his heart is really in this, if he doesn't want to do it, but it feels like he should because of the whole thing with his son.
Yeah.
But what I know, I'm just guessing, Tom, that it probably did discourage him from wanting to run.
You have been a long-time observer. I trust you more than most anybody I know. Here's the other thing, groundbreaking, that for the first time in a presidential debate, we talked about how long it takes for a woman to urinate.
That was funny. But that was, everybody got it. You know, everybody understands that.
That was kind of groundbreaking, funny. Wasn't it?
Well, it was, and I thought it was kind of effective politically, because several times she reminded voters, particularly women, that, hey, this is going to be a first. This is going to be a new thing if I'm president. And that was one of the ways she did that.
Yeah. News Radio WJPF, David Yepsen, director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. Sorry I kept you so long, David.
Thank you, Tom.
But thanks for coming through the construction, buddy.
Thank you.